Good morning, and welcome to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, in Green Valley. Rick Hansen, PhD, is a psychologist and New York Times best-selling author. He's been invited to speak at NASA, Oxford, Stanford, Harvard, and meditation centers worldwide. His books are available in 28 languages and include Hardwiring Happiness, Just One Thing, and Mother Nurture. His works have been featured on the BBC, CBS, NPR, and other major media. And now, Just One Thing. What do you do when the bottom falls out? The practice? Take heart. Why? It takes heart to live in even ordinary times. Even more so, it takes heart to live in, live with, and live beyond times that are really hard. Your personal hard time might be bad news about your health, the death of a parent, or the betrayal of others. Or it could be related to changes in your country and world, and your concerns about their effects on others and yourself. By taking heart, I mean several related things. Sensing your heart and chest, finding encouragement in what is good both around you and inside you, resting in your own warmth, compassion, and kindness, resting in the caring for you from others, love flowing in and love flowing out, being courageous, wholehearted, and strong-hearted, going forward wisely, even when anxious, knowing your own truth, and, as you can, speaking it. When you take heart, you're more able to deal with challenges like aging, illness, trauma, conflicts with others. You're also more able to take advantage of opportunities with confidence and grit. There are so many examples of honorable people facing great difficulty with dignity, principle, and courage. They did it. We can too. How? Start by riding out the storm. When big things happen at any scale, in your child's schoolyard or in a refugee camp on the other side of the world, it is completely natural and normal to be shocked and disturbed by them. As best you can, stay with the raw experience, the body sensations, the deep feelings, the stirred up fears and anger, and perhaps paralysis. Whatever it is your experience. Some may be upset about a big event, while others may be glad about it. I'm definitely not trying to talk you out of your experience. Be mindful of whatever is passing through the big open space of awareness, observing it without being flooded by it. Painful and counterintuitive as it may be, this is the foundation of releasing really hard experiences and replacing them gradually and authentically with thoughts and feelings that are helpful, wholesome, wise, and even happy. Do things that help you come back to center and find your footing. Personally, I prioritize exercise, sleep, and meditation. I try to feel the truth of being basically all right, right now, in this moment, moment after moment, alongside and deeper than pain or sorrow. I do the dishes and make the bed, walk the dog, call a friend, eat something, look at trees and sky and get a cup of tea and stare into space. Take good care of your body. Guard and guide your attention. It's one thing to find facts and form the best plans that you can. It's another thing to get distracted or upset by news or other people that do not add any useful value. Take heart in the good that is real. Outside you there is kindness in others, the beauty of a single leaf, the stars that shine no matter what hides them. Right now, as you listen, all over the world, children are laughing in delight. Families are sitting down to a meal. Babies are being born. And loving arms are holding people who are dying. Inside you, there is compassion, sincere efforts, sweet memories, capabilities, and much more. Take heart with others, sharing worries, support, and friendship. Do the things that you can. The more that events are turbulent, alarming, and beyond your influence, the more important it is to grow stability, safety, and agency inside you and around you. Have courage. At all human scales, strong forces have always tried to confuse and frighten others. Whatever outward action is necessary, you can preserve an inner freedom, never cowed or bowed in your core. Last, I found it really helps to have perspective. Without minimizing one bit of whatever is awful, it is also true that humans like you and I have been walking this earth for nearly 300,000 years. I see the trees, the land, the ocean, all of it here before me and lasting long after me. Empires rise and fall. Sometimes the center does not hold. In a body, a marriage, or a nation. And still, people love each other, go out of their way for a stranger, and marvel at a rainbow. Nothing at all can change this. We keep putting one foot in front of the other, lifting each other up along the way. You are listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. And here's a quote from Dr. Rick. To handle a problem in a responsive rather than a reactive way, try to call upon the inner strengths and related experiences that can best take care of the core need that is being challenged. And here's another Just One Thing. Are we really so separate? The practice. Love the world. Why? To simplify and summarize, our brain has three primary motivational systems: avoiding harm, approaching rewards, and attaching to us, that draw on many neural networks to accomplish their goals. Lately, I've started to realize that a fourth fundamental human motivational system could be emerging as well. Our hunter-gatherer ancestors depended upon their habitats for food and shelter. Today, over 8 billion of us are pressing hard up against the limits of lifeboat Earth. To survive and flourish, cultural and perhaps biological evolution is calling us to love the world. The world is near to hand in the food you eat, the air you breathe, and the weather and climate in which you spend your days. And then, in widening circles, the world extends out to include complex webs of life and the physical characteristics of the land, sea, and sky. When you love the world, you both appreciate it and care for it. Each of these actions makes you feel good, plus they help you preserve and improve everything you depend on for your health, livelihood, security, pleasure, and community. During most of the last several million years, our human and hominid ancestors did not have much capacity for harming the world, nor did they have much understanding of their effects on the whole planet. But now, humanity has great power for good and for ill. And we have inescapable knowledge, no matter how much some try to deny it, of what we are doing to our own home. As the earth heats up, as many species go extinct, and as resources such as fresh water decline, it is critically important that a fourth major motivation guide our thoughts, words, and above all, our deeds. Love the world. How? In terms of the aspect of love that is about appreciating, routinely look for opportunities to enjoy, value, and feel grateful for little things in the natural world. These range from whatever is close by, flowers blooming, trees offering shade, honeybees moving from plant to plant, to the vast nest we all share, such as the exchanges of oxygen and CO2 through which animals and plants give breath to each other. We can also appreciate the fortuitous occurrence of a rocky planet, Earth, surviving the early formation of a solar system to find an orbit that allows for liquid water on its surface. And even the more remarkable occurrence of this universe bubbling into being, the largest nest of all, the extraordinary miracle in which we make our ordinary days. In terms of the aspect of love that is about caring for, this means to me a combination of cherishing, protecting, and nurturing the world. You naturally cherish what you love. Cherishing something, you want to keep it safe. Once it's protected, you want to help it flourish. So much could be written and has about cherishing our world and protecting and nurturing it, yet I must be brief here with just three suggestions. For a minute, an hour, or a whole week, touch natural and human-made things around you like you truly cherish them. Protect something from harm. You could save something you might otherwise throw away, from water running in a sink to food in a restaurant. More broadly, we can take political action to protect our world. Different people will find different paths with this. Personally, I've been inspired by young people who will most inherit the consequences of the 100 million tons of CO2 their parents have been pouring into the sky each day, who are saying, enough is enough. Pick one thing and focus on helping it grow and thrive. Perhaps a plant, or a business, or a project at a local school, or a collaboration among some friends, or a fix-it repair at home. At the heart of it, this practice is about our relationship with the world. Do we relate to it as an adversary or a distant acquaintance? Or do we relate to the world as a friend, a child, a beloved nest? Here and there and everywhere, let's all live in a world that we love. You are listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. And here's a quote from Dr. Rick. Together, with millions of us using the power we do have, really, we just might save the world. And here's another Just One Thing. Who's outside your circle? The practice? Us, all thems. Why? By us, all thems, I mean finding common ground with every person, especially those you fear or are angry with, or who simply are very different from you. These days, this practice is more important than ever. For most of the past 300,000 years, our human ancestors lived in small bands of about 50 people, in which they survived by being good at caring about and cooperating with people inside the band, with us, while also being good at fearing and aggressing upon people outside their band, them. And for 2 million years before that, our hominid ancestors lived and evolved under similar pressures. That's a long time. And during the last 10,000 years, as agriculture produced food surpluses that enabled larger groups, this same tribalistic pattern has repeated at bigger scales. While there are heartening examples of people extending themselves for strangers, most of us are vulnerable to the ancient drumbeats of grievance and vengeance, now amplified to a thunder by modern technologies like social media. And it's not just in our politics. You can see the theming of others as you walk down a street in the rapid sorting of people into like me, not like me. You can see it in office politics and family discord. The in-group and the out-group, the casual dismissals, the turning away in anger, the easy disdain. You can see your mind moving so quickly to reduce another person to a two-dimensional figure as you invest in your own position and identity, even when that person is your beloved mate. You also know that what it's like to feel themed yourself, to be ignored, discounted, used, attacked, or tossed aside. Not good at all. To us, others, is to see our common humanity, to recognize that we all want pleasure and fear pain, that we all are frail, that we all suffer and die, that each of us will be separated one way or another from everything we love someday. As you see this fact and the deep, deep ways we're like each other, a weary tension in the body eases. Then you see others more clearly and can be more effective with them, even those you oppose fiercely. And when you don't feel needlessly threatened, you're less likely to be needlessly threatening. How? Take a little time to know what it feels like to be me, to be part of an us, to see those who are them. Then be mindful of when your mind is us-ing or them-ing other people. They can be quite subtle yet consequential, those moments when we look away, lose empathy, stereotype, discriminate, cast out, or punish. When you notice that you, like me, are theming others again, try to stop fueling this process. Step back, climb back down the ladder of anger, see the bigger picture, the larger whole that contains you and the other person in a single us. Help it sink in that you can still stand up for your rights and protect those you care about without dehumanizing others into them. As you move through your day, see similarities between yourself and others. For example, when you see a stranger walking down the street, take 20 seconds to really look at them and get a sense of, wow, they're like me. Their back hurts like mine. They love their kids like I do. They too have felt joy and sorrow. Try this in particular with people who seem very different from you, with people who belong to groups that you may mistrust or fear or dislike. Notice that this practice feels like what this practice feels like for you. Probably heart-opening, calming, and actually strengthening. Also, imagine a kind of circle that includes you and others you like. And then, gradually widen that circle in ways that feel genuine to you, gradually including people you know but feel neutrally about, including people you don't know but are like you in some ways. Then, including people who are unlike you. Eventually, including people you don't like, perhaps who have harmed you or others. Knowing you don't have to approve of them to recognize our common humanity. Take your time with this, drawing on compassion for yourself and others, and expanding the circle only if it feels true and right for you. Be aware of a softening in yourself as you do this, a releasing of defensiveness and righteousness, a widening of your perspective. Rest in how this feels and enjoy it. You can also play with the sense of being an us to others. Start with those who naturally include you and notice what this feels like. Then you could try this with people who may not initially see their common ground with you. And, as appropriate, You could do little natural things to establish similarities and connections, like finding out if both of you have children, or that both of you have a sarcastic sense of humor, or simply that you do not wish each other harm. It's often in these simple ways that bridges build among us and circles widen, and we come to live together in peace. You have been listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. And here's a quote from Dr. Rick. We can stand up for the value of truly recognizing the inner life of the person across the table or across the ocean. The more that another person seems unlike oneself, perhaps with a different nationality, religion, or lifestyle, the more important it is to have empathy for them. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix in Green Valley. Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more programming coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.